Times have changed somehow, and you know that in the life of the church. You know, I was reading an article. I read Christian Post sometimes online, and there's an article there about the word evangelical. You know what the word evangelical is, right? It comes out of the word evangel, which means those are people, evangelicals are people historically who thought the evangel was very important, sharing the good news of Jesus, and that was very important. And so people would say, you know, I'm an evangelical, but times have changed. You know what evangelical means today? It's a voting block. You know that. It's a voting block. So there are questions that are rising up and circling around that should we even call ourselves evangelicals anymore? Because if you say that I'm an evangelical, that means that to the world, it means you're part of a voting block. And that's not what serious evangelicals want communicated. They want communicated that they take Jesus seriously, the gospel seriously. They take living by the gospel seriously. They don't want to be labeled as part of a voting block. So times have changed. Times have changed in this country and around the world. And some of the things that we do in church, some of the things that we have experience doing in church, well, times have changed. People are highly skeptical. I think you know this, but let me just say it for the sake of everyone together. People are very skeptical of institutions, whether they're educational institutions, whether they're governmental institutions, economic institutions, religious institutions. People are very skeptical. So if we go to them and we say, we're evangelicals, that is not persuasive. You may have thought it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago. It's not. In fact, that's a good reason to be suspicious of you, because you might make me want to be one of those, and I'm not too sure that I want to be one of those. And it has nothing to do with objecting to Jesus. It has everything to do with objecting to the word, to the label. People don't want to be labeled. They're suspicious. So things are different. Worship renewal, what this series is about is you, the congregation. Times have changed. It may have been cool to go see a great music festival at a church on a Sunday morning sometime in the past. With Pandora, YouTube, technology, times have changed. If you're trying to reach that, that's very hard to do. It's interesting for 3 or 4 weeks, but it's very hard to do. If it's all about the personality of the person delivering the message, well, that's very hard too, because today, this afternoon, you could go and find some very unique personalities delivering gospel message on YouTube. Good, solid messages by some very persuasive, interesting communicators. So that doesn't work like it used to. The thing, in my opinion, that has been missing and is missing today is the congregation. So I'm trying to remind you, I'm trying to exhort you, I'm trying to encourage you that you have a very unique opportunity in front of you at this season of history. The skeptical world is walking into churches, and remember I described to you what a man told me standing right over here, and this happens frequently. Well, they pay him to say that. That happened right here, if you were not here for that message, to me.
But when they hear you share your love for the Lord, and they see you interacting in mutual ministry, why, they don't pay you for that. That's cool. When they see you loving on each other and caring for each other and mostly exalting the name of Jesus, they can't find that at Starbucks. They can't find that in the workplace. They can't even go to a conference and find that. So this is about you and the enormous opportunity that you have in front of you. And I'm in prayer and I'm hoping that we don't squander the opportunity that's in front of this little church. Rest little church right here in Danville. Just a review of where we've been over the last couple of weeks. I am calling this spontaneous participatory worship, corporate worship experience. And for those who were not here, just a reminder, I taught this a year and a half ago to 12 people, and without exception, they said they wanted everyone who attended Gate Tree to hear it. So if you were not there, you should know that those people, the reason this message is coming is that those people said, Pastor Mark, we want everyone to hear it. So, okay, here we go. This is our review, participatory worship experience. We talked about worship as a verb. It's something that we do. It's not something that's done to us, something we do. It's a place of mutual ministry. We're ministering to one another like you just did this morning, like you've been doing this morning. And it could be now a place to meet God. So I said the problem was in our culture and in many of our churches, large and small, across denominations, is an unsatisfied thirst for God's presence. And I labored the point that worship, as it's been described by Robert Weber, one of the scholars in worship, worship is more about being than doing. So the solution is being a space where God could be experienced if He would will. We always have to keep God's sovereignty in mind. If He doesn't want to be experienced, no one will experience Him, or we won't experience Him in that location if He doesn't want. It's according to His will. But it's about being. I'm going to come back to that many times. Being. I want you to understand, it's about who you are. Worship is not about the song set, as much as I like Praise Adonai. It's not about the building. It's not about the preacher. It's about you being who you are. And I think when logically we think through that, use our minds, we can't come together corporately and worship if we are being, if we're not worshipers. If we're not worshipers in spirit and truth. We can go through all the mechanics we want to. We can go to all the conferences we want to. We can hear all the sermons we want to. This is about the congregation, and I'm part of the congregation, not separating my. This is about us being. You being a space where God might move. So if you are not a space where God might move, don't expect to come into a room and not be satisfied. It starts with you first. That's the power that you have, is to realize that, to say, yeah, I want God to make me a space where He would be experienced in my life. And then when a group of people get together and it's like that, wow, where are you going to find that? Hopefully in a lot of churches across our land you would find it, but it might be more difficult than we would think. I asked the question, what would be some basic things that a person might want to experience in a church? And we, for a couple of generations, in my opinion, have moved afield from that, far afield from that. What would they want to experience? They would expect that prayer would be happening. They would experience fellowship, connection. They would experience people to talk about Jesus. They would expect that. They would not expect a political action committee. If they wanted to be part of that, they would go join that. They're not coming to buildings with a cross on the roof for social projects. As good as those are now, as good as they are, I'm just thinking, we have to think, what do people expect from a church? I ask the question, would God attend your church? This is our church, but I use the language, your church. Would God attend it? Your experience with church, would he attend? I'm just thinking about this question this week. How would people react if it could be sincerely asked of them? How would you like God to touch you right now? How would you like to experience that? I think that people would love that. I would love that. If somebody would say, how would you like to come with me and God would touch you? That would be very interesting. The academic answer, questions and answers are good. The Bible study is good. Pastor Mark will never minimize that. I'm just saying, what would it be like for you to be able to sincerely say, how would you like to go with me and have God touch you? I wonder if that's possible. It's kind of what we see in the New Testament, right? Why can't we have that? Why does the 21st century have to be different? So I talked about our authentic participation, your ministry presence, worship renewal, and experiencing God. Went through that, kind of on that journey of experiencing God. We can't just rise up and say, I want to experience God. It takes participation and ministry presence and renewal. There's this cycle, and I know the slide's a little bit difficult to see, but number one begins with personal heart preparation. That's what that box is. Personal heart preparation. Being a space where God might be experienced. That includes personal, number three, personal devotions and worship, and I'll go into that. It involves God's presence, if God wills, with a group of people when they come together. It involves people on Sunday morning bringing their worship with them. Some of you know that I use that language. Bring your worship with you. That's what Pastor Mark wants from you. Do I want you to head up a ministry? Do I want you to do this or to do that? What I want from you, if God would will, bring your worship. Which means that you've been doing it during the week. You're being, that's who you are. You come to this place. You're part of a place where this thing is happening, where God's working, and other people in the community might want to be a part of that, and people who have not experienced God might want to be in the same room with all of that going on. Bring your worship with you. It's participatory. Maybe God's presence would be experienced. Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's about congregational worship, about this series. We'll touch on praise team, we'll touch on pastors, but this, the aim of this thing is the congregation, because we together could be part of something very unique, but you could change your world. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. When you walk in on Sunday, does that describe you? I'm coming, and I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice. Of course, it means, I've said this before, it means all of life. Everything we do, 24/7, but specifically for this congregation at 10:45 on a Sunday morning, better, 10:30 on a Sunday morning, Are you coming presenting your sacrifice, a living sacrifice that's holy and as something that would be acceptable to God? I'm just asking. I've had to ask myself that question. I ask myself, preacher, is your preaching an acceptable sacrifice? We know Jesus doesn't sit there, but it reminds the preacher. Is that an acceptable sacrifice? And anyone preaching and standing up here to proclaim the Word of God better seriously take into mind whether or not that message is holy and acceptable to God. They better think about that. 12:1. Present your body. That's what God wants. What do I have to do, God? Just present your body as a living sacrifice. Let me work through you. I'll worry about the details. You just do that. So it begins with us individually. And what I want to talk about today with you is personal heart preparation. Personal heart preparation. And you see some of that in your bulletin and the listening guide today. And let's just go through some of these aspects of what it means to prepare our hearts. Let's kind of come concrete down to what it means to prepare. Look, you can go through church. You can walk through church your entire life, my friends. Pastor included. Staff people included. You can walk through church and go through the motions and go through the routine of it and waste your life. It begins here. It begins in our own hearts. Being a place. This is what this is about. Being a place. Prayer and Scripture reflection. How was your prayer and Scripture reflection this week? My language, the way I describe it, is Bible intake. How was that? Bible intake this week. I'm going to move away from using the language of read your Bible. Have you been reading your Bible? I'm going to try to discipline myself to say this. Have you been studying your Bible? Because reading in the culture that we live in means doing a speed read and fitting it in on the calendar. From this time to 15, this 15 minutes I'll speed read. As much as I can get. No. Just take one word and study what Adonai means. Take Adonai. Look it up in a concordance online. All of the references to Adonai. You need some hope? All of the words. Go to Bible Gateway, type in hope. All of the listings of hope. If that's your preferred method, study and reflect on what you're studying. It's not about quantity. I know there's these right reading the Bible in a year plans. But if you're not careful, it's just a task to move through. Study it and reflect on what you have read, and your heart will be transformed. Guaranteed. God will change your heart. So personal heart preparation begins with the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit uses the inspired text to change our heart. So if you come to a worship service on Sunday, any church, anywhere, and this has not been taking place, do you expect God to move in your life? Better, you want to put that pressure on the preacher? You want to put the pressure on the pianist to move you so that you'll have an experience with God and you haven't even been in the Word? Being proactive against sin. I'm not on a mission to go out and point sin out in your life. You know what's going on in your life. If you're spending time in the Word, in praying about it, God's revealing sin in your life. And if you are sinning, be proactive. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you that empowers you to do battle against the sin. Don't you see how ridiculous it is for groups of people to come in a place to worship with a cross on the building, indwelt in sin, and they know it, and they go, well, the service really doesn't do anything for me. Really? You're not studying the Word. You're living in sin. And what?
Just be proactive. Ask God to help you. And if you need the help of another believer, ask them to help you under the unction, under the Spirit, under the movement of God to help you move out of that sin, because you've got a higher purpose. Keep an eye on your relationships, especially at home. Don't you know the devil wants to get in those relationships, especially in a church? That's his business. To get in there and separate people. And especially in a home, the nuclear family, once husband and wife right at each other, gets right in there. So be proactive against that. Keep an eye on your relationships. You have pain and the relationships are broken in the house. And I know it's hard. But keep an eye on those and try to do things to call on God to mend those relationships. And that's in your nuclear family. I'm mostly concerned right there. But it also applies to the broader family, the relationships in the broader family. If there's a problem, let's just do Matthew 18. Let's just talk about it. How about that? With the person. And not talk about them. Let's talk with them. Let's do that with our homes too. Let's just talk about that. Being proactive. Keeping an eye on our relationships. Heart preparation. Having a proper worship perspective. Having a proper worship perspective. Will you allow me to speak frankly with you? This worship service is not about you. It really is not. Honestly, not religion. Rhetoric. It is about Jesus. It is not about you being satisfied. Now, of course, we all do, and I'll get into that. There is benefit. It's important to be satisfied. There's benefit to that. But the proper worship perspective is not what you get from worship, it's what you give to it. It's a verb. Something you do. Can you just imagine that perspective in the churches across the United States of America, how that would change things? It would just radically, up this whole land would just go up into an upheaval if people attending churches, not the sinners on the store, they're doing their thing. We want to reach them, just the people coming to services. If they would say, it's not about me, it's about what I'm going to bring into that door right over here. I'm going to bring something because it's about him, and it's about him and her and him, and it's about other people, and it's not about me. Show me a passage in Scripture in the New Testament where the worship service is about me. I'm trying to exhort you. I'm trying to get you to see that we have been enculturated in church life, that it's about what you can get out of it. You've had these forces on you for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You come to it and it's not. It's not. So what does the pastor do? The pastor gets a Jesus chair, as silly as it is, and he gets the chair and he sits it up here in the seminar. And he sits it down and he says, please, nobody attend a church and not think it's about Jesus. I mean it really. I don't mean some theological cloud in the sky idea. It's about him fighting sin, studying the Scriptures, keeping an eye on our relationship, having a proper worship perspective on worship. Do I want you to get something from the worship? Of course. I try to communicate in a way that you would get something from it. I try, as imperfectly as it is. I know it's imperfect. I try. I want you to gain from it. But we all have to be. It's not about me. It's not about the pastor. See, I have a mentor. He's still living. He's living in Florida now.
I was talking with him about my preaching one day, and he said, why don't you just quit worrying about trying to satisfy the people in the congregation, and you worry about satisfying Jesus. And if you get that done, you let Him deal with it. That always stuck with me. And you can tell it has. That's my main thing. When I'm done here today, whatever time it is, whatever time I'm done today, that's what I'm doing in the office when you leave. Jesus, I hope you were pleased. I hope you were. Because I'm daring to stand here and open up the Bible and proclaim His Word in His name, it better honor Him. And if it doesn't perfectly, I know that. It's not going to do it perfectly. Your worship is the same. When you come, your worship, our worship is not perfect. We'll be in heaven. But you're doing the best you can. You're bringing it into the space. We're being in a space where God could be experienced. And just maybe this little bitty church would change the world. It took Jesus 12 people. I don't know. And it's not about out there doing that. It's in here doing this. Proper perspective. Proper perspective. I need to move on. It just almost makes me want to cry. Please know that your life is about Jesus. It's about giving Him honor and glory. This church is about that. It's not about the details. It's about living for Him and giving Him glory. That's the reason you're sucking wind today. He can take it from you any moment. Go be what you want to be. Be a great grandparent. But do it in a way that Jesus is seen in your life to be great. Be great in real estate. Do it in a way where people say that Jesus is great in that guy's life. I want to be a part of that. I want to call them. Be great in medicine. Be a great husband so that your family knows that Jesus is first and a great and a wife and a student. Be a student so people around you see that, well, that guy, yeah, he's kind of weird. She's kind of weird. Look, that'll pass. We're talking about eternal things. Never everlasting things, great purpose for your life. Have to go on. Mind saturated with God talk. Does that mean that you don't ever talk about anything else? No, but a mind that is saturated with God. That you're hearing God in all of these diverse ways. Your music and your online preaching. You know how I get some God talk recently? We bought that movie, that package, that mini-series, AD, The Bible Continues. Did you see that mini-series? Lydia and I watched it because these things perk our interest, of course. You might suspect that. Most of the time, anything that you would see on television about God or about true biblical Christianity is highly disappointing. But this was so cool. It just brought the history to life. So sometimes we'll just drop in one of the DVDs. Which one did we watch last time? Was it the sixth DVD or was it the second? Who cares? It's just about hearing people talk about God and hear how God moved in their life. That's one way. We like that. There's a lot of video we don't like. We like that one. You'll have your own music. But my point is being intentional about finding God talk coming in your life, absorbing it, because there's so much talk that isn't about God in the name of God. Personal and family devotions. It's kind of tied to the scripture reflection, but you need the scripture reflection, but you need personal, you need a personal and family time for devotionals. To spend time with God. Look, doing your study and conversation in a group is wonderful. But it's not a substitute for your personal time. Your personal time.
Just do that and let God work in your life, honestly. You have forces coming at you from everywhere. You don't have the time. I know. That's where you have to fight. The Christian faith, the sanctification process is work. It's not just laying around eating cherry bonbons. It's work. Prioritize this weekly gathering. Please understand, I want the best for you. Whenever the Lord calls one of us home, I'm trying to communicate in my imperfection to you, I want the best for you. And I believe the best for you is living for Christ. Prioritize this weekly gathering. It's your ministry opportunity. Do you see that? What I'm talking about, it's a powerful opportunity for you to come. Don't have to sign up to be on a committee. No, just come. Be yourself. Bring your worship with you. Just be you, but prioritize it. Not so the pastor can say, well, we had so many people in the service today. No. But so that you can minister to one another and that you can show people that come into a service, a worship service, that God's really great. Remember last week we talked about Flash and he's out in the parking lot and he says, what really goes on in there is important. Yeah, it's because you were here. Guard your time and plan ahead. I know you're busy. I know you're busy. Just plan. Plan. Plan for God. Churches are filled with people who do not plan for God. They squeeze Him in. Guard your time. Because this is the greatest priority in your life. To be with a part of a group of people that just passionately is about declaring the name of Jesus in their hearts and in their lives. You have to guard your time. Don't you know that one of the devil's favorite tricks is to squeeze your God time out of your life? If he can do that, he's got you. You're susceptible to sin. You're susceptible to broken relationships. You're susceptible to just to all kinds of things. And if he can do that, I'll just take away her time where she doesn't have any time because she's too busy with her career. She's too busy with her family. She's too busy doing things that are really important. But if I can convince her they're more than important, he's got you. You're no match. Guard your time. One of the stories Lydia tells me about growing up with her mother, one of the things that sticks out in my mind, she would say, okay, kids, she raised six kids. Okay, kids, anything you need? No? Okay, I'm going in my room. I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. Don't bother me. And Lydia will tell you, if they needed something, she'd get it. But they knew, don't bother her. 30 minutes. And she was ready to come back out and deal with whatever she was dealing with. Guard your time. Strive for a right atmosphere in your home. Strive for a right, and it's hard. Yes, I hear your stories. It's hard. But let's just think about it. Let's do what we can to have a right atmosphere Go to the Dish Network or Comcast or whatever. Go to the Christian music channel. Get the music playing in the background. Get the right attitude. Get the audio Bible going. Get it going on your phone. Plug it in. Run it through the speakers, however you want to do it. Get the atmosphere God-centered in your home. I know it's so hard. You come on Sunday in the world, it's hard for you. You walk in and it hasn't been that atmosphere in your life, and you want it to be the atmosphere here. I want it to be the atmosphere here. The praise team will tell you almost every week I'm praying for that it will be the right atmosphere for you to come and find some release from this world. But you need to come with your worship, and part of that is to have the right atmosphere at home. And it may be going into your room for 30 minutes and shut the door, or whatever time is good for you. On Sunday mornings, how about just a media blackout? Is it a downer to watch the news that's around us? Why check in with Fox News and MSNBC and CNN, or go to your favorite app on your phone and check? You know that's just going to be a bummer. You know it. Just have that kind of media. Just have a blackout. And don't absorb it. Don't let it come into your lives. Really strive to leave the negativity at the door. I started this series by saying I'm not... It's called spontaneous, and I emphasized authentic. I'm not about false worship. I would never advocate that. But you can take control of your life and leave the negativity at the door. You can do that. I could go a long time and recount the church staff stories about how draining it is to hear constant negativity right before you go to a worship service and then be criticized because he didn't get it done for me. Or they didn't sing it the way I like to have it sung. Please, leave it at the door. If there is something that's bothering you, come talk to me during the week. You have my phone number. 6 days a week, call. Let's not hear about it at 10:15. And expect God to move in a church and flower people's lives and be an explosive place that might change a community. It just is not logical. Along with that, I hope you're seeing the vision that I have. I'm trying to share with you about what's possible. About what's possible, what's sacred. It's not about having 200 people and then being a powerful church. It's not. If you would just know. If you would just know. It's not, if not about 700 people and having a powerful church. If you would just know the grief the people on the staffs have about the decline in spiritual power in the church, the decline in morality. I shared with you the statistics. They're wide-ranging everywhere across our land. It's not about that. It's about people shutting out negativity, leaving it at the door. Worldliness. You're saturated. Look, could you just do this? Leave the slang outside. What people use commonly as slang these days was actually a cuss word about 30 years ago. And you walk into a church and people are talking that way, and you think, would God attend that church? And people are all worried about programs and what can we do to, You know, get a circus on the lawn or something like that to get things happening. How about this? Just leave the worldliness at the door. Just take James. Read the book of James. Take it to heart, not about her or him, about me and the way I use my mouth. And that might not be real healthy on Sunday morning when people are gathering for worship. Just really try to do that. We walk through and we think about things. Worldliness, worldly attitudes. I won't belabor that any further. This is personal heart preparation. These are just some common sense things. I think you want to do this, but we neglect it. We forget it. We kind of look like, well, look, our nation, boy, that thing's with Jesus, come back soon. And Jesus is saying, can't you imagine? He hadn't telephoned me on this, but I can just imagine that he's saying, how about some of this? How about this? Some of this. Could my people please just get our hearts right and be about this? Don't worry about this person or that group or when I'm coming. Just do that. Be a space where God would move and assemble together. It'd be interesting to see what he would do. It really would. Look, I want you to know, I really am excited for you and I'm proud of you at the same time. Do you know how many steps we've taken in this direction over the last 12 months? Last 18 months? I have seen growth in this, in you. I have seen it. I'm just exhorting you, let's get on fire and really go for it. Let's don't have just a little bit. Let's do this in a really big way together and let's see what God would do. Are you a believer in the God of miracles? Well, let's get some of this heart preparation going. And we'll see what happens. Let's see what he does with a congregation that's on fire for reflecting on the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures, being saturated with the things of God. Are we ready to go out and do battle? Because they're not talking about the things of God in a holy way. But you're prepared. You go back, but you retreat back in and you get refreshed with more God talk. Let's be zealous about the right atmosphere in our homes. Let's be zealous about prioritizing this. No rigidness now. Please, nobody leave. And I hope you know me better than this. Well, Pastor Mark expects us to be here at such and such a time. And no, so we better be there. I want it to come from your heart. I want you to want to be here and want to minister to one another. Not because the pastor has put some guilt trip on you. Some of you know that Lydia and I like to say this is a no-guilt zone. If there's any guilt going on, I want it to be from the Holy Spirit, and he does that, but no-guilt zone. Just reflect and think about how we can grow in that area. I'm just really excited. I've got to stop. I've got to say, I just can't tell you how excited I would be. I would just love to see it. It may be there because I don't get a chance, as I said before, to get around and circulate. But I do read a lot. And I get information about what's happening in churches and religious life and things. It may be out there in a lot of places. I just don't know of it. Let's find out what God could do with something like that. Worship renewal. With the congregation that's on fire to grow in, what's the one thing this year? Christ-likeness. To grow in Christ-likeness.